Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to the Raven on this 13th day of February. I am Michelle Ampillo, one of the hosts, and our other host, Mandy Roth, will be joining us shortly. Unfortunately, life just happens for her, so she'll be on here in a second. So she's leaving me to hang in the wind by myself. You all have to listen to me. Okay, sorry. I was getting power mad for a second. Anyway, we have a fun show planned for you today. Author Gia Don will be stopping past to visit with us and talk about her latest book from Samhain Publishing, Princess of Thieves. We promise to put her in the hot seat and demand she tell us everything about her Dunmore series and basically give us all her secrets on how she can pen such deliciously wicked heroes. First off, though, I want to tell everybody happy Valentine's Day from the M&Ms. Mandy's telling you whether she wants to or not because, well, she's not here and I have the power. Ooh, I can announce things about her. Mandy will be writing Daughter of Darkness 99 soon because I just announced it for her. Clearly Mandy's listening to the show. I didn't say that. It was somebody else on the line. Great. The entire show is going to be me being slapped. Okay, great. Thanks for chiming in there, Mandy, and leaving me hanging. Anyway, we thought it would be fun to give you a little bit of history of Valentine's Day since it tomorrow is the Day of Love. It's actually one of the biggest holidays, the second biggest card-giving holiday here in the U.S. with over a billion cards given. And basically, the legend of St. Valentine is one that's kind of shrouded in mystery. And I would like to give a quick shout-out to History.com for the History Channel for supplying us with wonderful information. Like I said, Mandy's not here. I'm alone.
No, I'm here now.
Oh, hey.
I just wheeled over my own foot and said something, you know, I shouldn't have, so I stayed muted for a moment.
That so wasn't me who mentioned the Daughter of Darkness 99.
You know, whoever got on the line and hacked the system sounded remarkably like you, though.
I know. It's kind of actually scary.
You know, I'm going to have to use them for stand-ins whenever one of us can't make it. It's
yeah,
Michelle and
yeah.
Michelle.
Anytime Michelle says anything asinine, it was her stand-in.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry about my delay, folks, and I can't guarantee I won't have to step out again. Yeah, it's one of those days.
Yeah, life happens.
Oh, so yes, and you told them about Gia coming on, and
yeah.
Now we're starting on the History Channel stuff?
Well, yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about the history of Valentine's Day.
Okay.
There's a bunch of legends about it, and no one knows exactly which one is the right one, because it's kind of shrouded in mystery, and which one's the actual Valentine. Because there was actually several saints with the name of Valentine, or a variation thereof. One legend says that Valentine was a priest who served in the 3rd century in Rome. Emperor Claudius II decided that single men made better soldiers, and so, you know, rather than those who had, like, wives and families to think about. So he outlawed marriage for young men, who was basically, you know, his crop of potential soldiers. And Valentine, realizing the injustice, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for the young lovers in secret. When his actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death. And
oh.
That's one of the legends.
Happy Valentine's Day. You're dead.
Well, I think it's supposed to celebrate, you know, the fact that he stood up against the man.
Right.
Damn the man,
yeah.
Save the empire. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm the only one who focuses on the end.
And maybe that's why they use hearts. Hearts, blood, beheading. Okay.
Suddenly I like the holiday better.
Like, hey, Valentine's like my favorite day.
Halloween was my favorite before.
Yeah.
We talked about sacrificial lovers. All right.
Let's see. Another story said that he may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape Roman prisons, where they were often beaten and tortured. Another legend says he sent the first Valentine himself while in prison, that he fell in love with the jailer's daughter, or the sheriff's daughter or something, and that he wrote her love letters, and he signed it from your Valentine, and that's how we got the expression today. And he is still considered one of the most popular saints in England and France.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of other Valentine's Day stories, but those were just some of the top ones that, you know, are kind of passed around, but nobody really knows for sure which saint he was actually named after, but there's a lot of things contributed to him.
Now, I'm curious on your take on Valentine's Day. Have you been one to celebrate it all the time? Is this a holiday you enjoy?
You know, in school I did, because, hey, you got to have, like, Valentine's Day boxes, and basically they attach candy to the little cards, and, you know, and you never wanted to give, like, the boys in class, the one that said, I love you, be my Valentine. You always gave him the one that was like, hey, what's up?
Oh, not me.
Like, yeah, maybe that's where Mandy and I differ. Mandy's cards were like, hey, you want to hook up after school?
Yeah.
I'll show
the
you
girls
a real
class, Valentine. Like, you don't need a stinking card.
It was all crumpled up on a piece of scratch notepaper.
Yeah. Happy freaking Valentine's Day.
Great edges. Let's hook up after school. I'll give you a Valentine. Guy thought he was going to get lucky, and Mandy beat the crap out of him.
Story of my youth. Oh, my gosh. Now, do you celebrate it as an adult at all?
You know, I don't.
I don't either. Yeah.
I occasionally, you know, every once in a while in the years, I try to get a gift out of it.
Yeah.
But really, we don't. We don't give the cards. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not big into that.
Yeah, I have a hard time remembering my wedding anniversary, let alone holiday, as like Valentine's Day and Sweetest Day. I just, you know, they just don't do it for me. And my husband's very romantic. God love him. But I think he learned right real quick that it was just annoying me when I had to stop everything I was doing to try to equal his romance. So he was just like, yeah, maybe it's better just say I love you.
Hey, babe, what's up?
Yeah,
I do.
Hey, baby.
I think we basically try to, you know, not wait until one day of the year.
Right.
And, you know, we just, I don't know, we're not big card givers. It's, to me, it's kind of like a commercial holiday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll do it for, like, you know, like kids, nieces, nephews, things like that, but I don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
I prefer Thanksgiving.
I give kids gift cards to Toys R Us. They seem very ecstatic. They don't seem to notice I didn't put a card with me.
There you go. Here's some cash. Enjoy.
Yeah. Run away now.
I think that's what kids really want these days anyway.
I know. They're so
and
different.
I'm fine with that because it saves me shopping.
Exactly.
Michelle and Mandy's tip for the holidays, just have a giant stash of like $10 gift cards everywhere.
Sadly, I do that.
Grab one and throw it. I know. I got it from you.
So I always look like I'm prepared for everyone, and I never am. I just forget everything, and I have to go to the big pile and pull one out. I'm like, oh, there, I got that for you. Yeah, now everybody have done that too. No, sorry, guys. Well, I think that we may have Gia on the line.
Oh, great.
Hi, Gia.
Good morning.
Welcome to Raven Radio.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
Are you?
Yep, I'll let Michelle go ahead and lead with it because I have to step out again. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. We don't need you.
It's not always a team. It's not always a team thing. You guys do solo?
Yeah, when she forces us to.
Oh, okay.
Our first live show, I didn't show up for like 5 minutes, so I think it's payback. She's been waiting.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking Valentine's Day. Do you do anything special for the holiday, or do you celebrate?
You know, we have been married for so long. It's hard to get romantic, but we still laugh. You know, one year he was out of a job, I was out of a job, we had just gotten married, and we had absolutely no money, but I managed to scrounge up enough for the cheapest bottle of wine I could find and like a cake in a box. And I made the cake and we had the wine, and to this day, we still remember that. It's like the most romantic Valentine's Day that we had ever had together. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and you know what? That's something that you're not going to be able to top.
Oh, no.
You know, because you'll never be, you know, well, hopefully never be in that place again. So, yeah, that's actually a great story.
It was. You know, it was the nicest Valentine's Day we ever had. We just stayed home together. We couldn't go anywhere, and it was just lovely. It really was.
The only Valentine's Day story I really have is the fact that I use it as the marker for when my husband and I first started, I guess, dating. And it's not the exact date, but I told him I'm going to use it because they put it on the calendar each year.
You can remember that.
It's like on every calendar. I don't even have to worry about it. And so he always makes fun of me.
Well, we actually conceived our first child on Valentine's Day, too.
Oh.
And isn't that sweet? And people laugh and they say, how do you know? And I said, well, I know. You know, if there wasn't much else going on that week. So
I'm back.
Really good
I came back to that.
He was traveling out of town. I had a pretty good clue that's what it was.
Well, so that kind of makes it romantic.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Yeah. Did you have a what are the odds moment while you were there, or were you thinking, I'm not thinking about this, no idea a child's going to result?
Well, it was a couple of days later, and I remember thinking, oh, wow, what did we do? But it was really cool. We had been married for 6 years, and you know, we were ready. It wasn't that we were actively trying, but we were not trying at that point in time. So, you know, but no, it was really cool. He was very excited. And my son loves that story.
Really? I could imagine one of my sons, they would be like, ew, stop it.
Yes, I get that too. That's all I want to hear, Mom. That's really enough information.
Well, we have author Carolyn Ivey in the chat room, and she said between her bum foot in the snow, she can't get anything for her husband, but he said that he was going shopping. And I would just like to reiterate that, yeah, Carolyn, you have it rough.
Yeah. She's poor not a Carolyn. Good guy. I know from what I understand.
That just, she cracked me up because she's, you know, she was talking about how sick she was, and then a friend of hers, you know, called in and kind of outed her on the fact that her husband's waiting on her hand and foot, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Does he do, can you lend him out?
Hard, hard life there.
I need somebody to bring me coffee today. Can I borrow him?
Oh, it's a rough life, but somebody has to do it. Is that how that goes?
Now, you know what? I have been dying to get you on here because I want to talk a little bit about your new release, Prince of Thieves.
Well, before that, I haven't given the call-in number yet.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. So, come on. You're slowing me down here, chick. Let's go.
Does Carolyn have that on speed dial now?
Listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. It's a New York number. Long-distance charges could apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during this broadcast, visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio, or you can email questions for future shows at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com. Mandy, what happened to you, like, during the pre-recording of that for me?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I wigged and I bailed. I'm sorry.
Mandy's going to be like, oh, I got to go, wait.
Oh, yeah, in emergency. You know, people only knew what I was doing right now. You all are guessing, and it's probably not clean, is it?
And it's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's just a shame, too.
Oh, my God, my age, any thrill's a thrill. The Princess Thieves, the Dunmore series, right?
I was just going to give her a compliment and tell her that I actually read, the first time I read her was her Sandman release, that Legends and Lore that we did the author quotes for. I found it really, you know, Mandy can tell you, I, you know, kind of called her, I said it was a really refreshing story. It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did a new twist on paranormal, and I just thought it was great. So is Princess of Thieves kind of in that same vein?
No, you know, A Very Special Gift, that's the only contemporary I have ever done. And that went over a lot better than I sort of thought it would. You know, it's funny. So sometimes then you look and go, wow, that may be a place to go once I'm finished with this series, you know, because I know Urban Paranormal is just really big, and that was the first contemporary I tried, and I had a huge amount of fun writing that story.
I remember getting the call from Michelle, and she will like books, she'll recommend books when we talk in it, but she rarely makes, like, a point to call me specifically to talk about something, so that was really weird, and it stuck out. Definitely.
Oh, this is cool, because that's the first I've heard of that, so this is very wonderful. Oh, great.
Yeah, I kind of suck at sending the fan mail, but there you go. You go live on air.
It's a beautiful thing. I can keep it forever now.
The first book I read by you was Lord Demon's Delight.
That was the first book I ever, not that I ever wrote, but that's the first book that I ever got published. So that was that's my first baby.
I don't know what I was expecting going into it, but I know that when I left, you gave me so much more than I actually thought was going to be there. I kind of thought, you know, I'm not a historical fan. I'm not, you know, kind of fantasy fan. I'm not, and I was thinking it was going to be heavy into all of that. And you did this, and you flavored up, and I forgot I was reading all this stuff. I forgot, and I was just so in love with him because he's just so awful. You make the greatest guys.
He's just gorgeous.
You want to wring their necks.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah, you just want to wring their necks, and then you're like totally rooting for them at the same time. So,
well, I
yeah.
have sons and a husband, and I learned how men think, and that's why I had to do brothers. There ended up being three brothers, and I thought, because I listened to the interplay between my sons and my husband and their friends, and they just crack me up on a continuous daily basis. And so I thought, and, you know, so when I get into the stories, that's honestly what I have the most fun writing, are the interactions between the men sort of in that male, well, you're an ass, but oh, I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but I love you anyway, kind of.
We come with disclaimers, we're all right.
Okay, yeah. Good. But I love you anyway, kind of thing. So that made that story a whole lot of fun for me to write.
Yeah.
And the fairy godmothers. I had started that as a straight historical, and then these Monty Python creatures in drag started whispering in my ear. And that's how I think of Snapdragon, Pansy, and Rose. Yeah, those really high-pitched, nasty Monty Python voices. And they just don't shut up for hours at a time.
I love the Monty Python.
That's exactly. And
that
on
in my head. I start doing the scenes from, you know, Search for the Holy Grail.
Oh, we could go on all morning with that. Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
I didn't know the movie at all when I met my husband. And he would make references, and I wouldn't get them, which it happens to Michelle all the time. So he sat me down and forced me to watch it. Because I wasn't getting, like, you have three questions. You must. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you? What the hell?
You
is
have
that?
To get those. You can't live your life without knowing the three questions. Does Michelle know them yet?
She probably knows
them
by heart.
Yeah, I've got some Monty Python collections. I'm actually here singing the Life of Brian song, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. And you know, that was the first show that I'd ever seen male nudity.
Oh.
When he opens the window and it's like this really brief flash, and I was like, oh, they didn't just do that. I don't think they can do that. Of course, I was like in high school, but still.
Oh, they're a hoot.
Yeah, I think they're great. Anyway, I'll stop singing that song.
Now we'll all have that earworm going on all day today because it's rolling in my head right now.
Everyone, all together. I was just going to see if Gia did it.
Ha ha ha. And I almost did, but I was waiting for you to start.
Yeah, Mandy knows I'll sing. This is the only forum where I can force people to listen to my singing voice since the music career's out.
You don't do karaoke queen?
Oh,
like when you
no.
go to the conferences and stuff?
No, I sing like a dead duck.
I wish I could say she didn't. I really do.
Yeah. You know what? And I've gotten to the point where I just go with it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those radio singers who think I'm really good when the radio's on and I'm alone in the car.
Where you and you are. You know, at that point
in
time,
awesome.
You absolutely are, and that's okay.
I am America's Next Top whatever singer person. American Idol, is that it? I don't watch reality, sorry.
I don't either, but I caught it last night. I do admit, on occasionally, I have to do American Idol, and I got sucked in last night, and I probably shouldn't have.
I like the beginning episodes where they're, like, doing the people who aren't doing so well.
Oh, yeah. To this day, my husband remembers one woman who talked about all the friends inside her head. There's a couple of people. They're just scary. Just scary.
Yeah, maybe it's because I can sympathize with them. That's my audition tapes.
I should pop in before we have any idols here and say, if you want to call in and talk to Gia at all, the number is 646-595-3998. It's a New York number, so long distance charges may apply. And if you go to ravenhappyhour.com, you can follow the prompts and enter the chat room to ask questions there. And I think I've got that out of the way now. Carry on.
Yeah, Mandy's going to fire me here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I just keep not doing it in the hopes that she'll just take over.
And so far it's working for you, huh?
Yeah, see, now I'm going to sit on Gia until she tells me about Prince of Thieves.
Oh, yes. Princess of Thieves. This is the second brother's story.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first book, most of my readers thought that Allard would end up with a secondary character Jane in that story, and she ended up having a total love of her own. And this story finds him bemoaning the fact that the only woman he ever proposed to married his best friend. And then, he meets Joe, the thief, and she just sort of walks up to him and says, well, if you're going to jump off this bridge, you better jump off to the left because the water's pretty deep there and you probably have less chance of coming back up to the surface. And so he's really intrigued right from the start. And it's the most adventurous story that I have written so far. I mean, there's a lot of adventure and a sort of a magical quest in this one. And I really like this story a lot. I was really proud of this story. This story took me a long time. This story took me a year to write. Now, I wrote other things in between, and I just couldn't get it. And my poor husband, you know, once you've talked the plot line out over and over and over again and you're back where you started,
mm-hmm.
you know you've taken a huge detour in lands that you never should have been to.
Right. Now, are you a deleter or are you a saver?
I'm a saver. I delete it because sometimes I'll pull a scene out that didn't maybe work in its original form but can be modified. And with my first book, I totally deleted a couple of scenes, and then I wanted them back, and I said, oh, I'm never going to do that again. Which, you know, because then you have to write the whole thing over. So I'll pull it out and save it. I have extra scenes files for all my books. I mean, they may never go anywhere, but if on the odd chance I really want that back in the book I have, you know, I'm working on it. It's nice to have it backed up somewhere.
Now,
yeah,
what are your favorite scenes to write? Oh, yeah, Michelle's a saver. She's always yelling at me.
Mandy's the leader. I'm like, why did you delete 5,000 words?
Oh, Jesus.
The most I've ever deleted was, 50 or 60,000, I think it was, words.
I know,
and
I'm like, you know what?
And you didn't keep any of it?
No, I didn't keep any of it. I was like, off with its head. I was done. I was so angry. It didn't work, and I tried to make it work, so I was just like, goodbye.
Farewell.
Well, there's a cleansing to that. There's a cleansing to that.
Yeah, one I don't get.
Yeah, I don't know that I could.
For me. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I don't know that I could do that. I mistakenly deleted 5,000 words once, and I just cried for days.
Oh, no.
It happens. What can you say?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I had a hard drive failure, and it killed 80,000 words of a document that I was actually happy with the way the story was progressing. It was almost done.
Oh,
my
goodness.
About 3,000 words of being done. Yeah, and I paid to have my stuff recovered, and it came back as, like, hieroglyphics. Wow. Yeah, that was pretty heartbreaking.
That would put me in a tailspin because I'm not a fast writer. That would take me months.
I'm pretty sure Michelle had to talk me off a ledge. I really
do. Oh, I believe you. I absolutely believe you on that.
I lost like 30 to 40. Somebody bumped my computer and shut it off before it was saved. I'd been like on a roll, and when I tried to turn it back on, it was like hieroglyphs, and then I lost 30 to 40 of a book I'd been working on. It was actually the third Naughty Cupid book, and it took me forever to rewrite it because I just couldn't get back to where I liked it the first time.
And you can't pull that out the same way again. You really can't.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's gone, it's sort of out of your head. You never get it written. And I don't think it ever seems as good as
I have a question. When you work on something, can you work on multiple things? I know you said you were working on some other stuff in between. You were having a problem with this one and struggling that. But can you bounce back and forth between books? Like, you know, if you're in the mood one day to work on that, and then you're in the mood the next day to work on something else.
No, I've tried that. I'm not real good at multitasking. I would like to be able to do that. That's sort of my goal as an author, to be able to turn off one story and turn on another. But I write slow at the best of times, so I really need to immerse myself in what I'm doing. So when I wrote other stories in between, I mean, I literally put down Princess of Thieves for months at a time while I finished two stories in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then finally picked it back up. And again, I almost did not finish this book, but I thought, you know, this is a challenge. I have got to. It was set so long,
mm-hmm.
and I went round and round so much. And at one point in time, it just was not coming together in any way, shape, or form. And I thought, okay, I'm done. But then my professional side kicked in and said, you know, gee, you can't do that. eventually you have to work through. This is why authors don't get published. This is why authors don't finish anything, because you hit that point where you don't see any way to finish it, and then you stop and start another one. Well, then you end up with 20 stories that aren't written. How in the world are you ever going to get published or make a sale when you can't finish anything?
Mm-hmm. Or in Mandy's case, 1,600.
Yeah, I have 1,600 works in progress. I'm not kidding. You right-click
on my
file folder.
That's really scary, actually, if you think about that.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing is I start them when I get an idea, and I just get the idea all down and, like, you know, put it in there, and I usually write about 20,000 to 30,000 words so I can feel what I want. And then I shut it and go work on what I have to finish and what I promised. And then I come back to them. And, you know, and then I'll open, like, six of them, and I'll add, like, 5 or 6,000 to each one, because I move from project to project as my mood changes, because I don't just focus on one thing. And then I end up with, no kidding, Michelle can verify, I end up with, like, 7, 8 things done all at one time to turn into the publishers, and then another batch.
I keep telling her that she's going to keep adding, like, a few thousand here, a few thousand there, and then, you know, she'll have, like, 1,600 books ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that's another thing. I mean, I wrote and sold Lord's Demon's Delight. I started it and for me this was quick. I started it in April and I had finished and sold by September. Mm-hmm. So for me that was a quick book.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have any backstories.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I spent that whole first year of my career trying to write enough to keep up, to get a fresh flow. So, you know, I tell beginning authors, it's okay to have a few things tucked back that you haven't published yet, because, you know, once you get an in, that gives you something that you can get out rather quickly, as opposed to however long it takes you to complete an entirely new manuscript.
That was the same problem. I think, well, Michelle, you had some build-up, didn't you?
I still haven't published some of those first ones.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of holding them back, waiting for the right publishing house for them. And they probably need a little bit of cleanup, but most of them were straight historicals.
Historicals are big these days, yeah.
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 And they're great, too. I don't know why she keeps holding on to them. They're absolutely wonderful. She needs to let the baby go and put it out there because they're great.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things that other projects keep coming up, and I just haven't stopped to take the time to go back and clean them.
You and that pesky needing sleep. Come on.
Yeah. Michelle,
just wait till you get my age and you hit menopause. There's no such thing as sleep, so it's okay. You just, you know, write till 7 a.m.
Yeah, I'll finally have a chance to get it done. No, I've got, I think, like 5 to 7, like full length. And by full length, I'm talking the old full length, 400 typed pages, mm-hmm. You know, 120, 130,000 words.
Oh, yeah, those big, huge historicals.
Yeah. And one of those was actually what had won the RT Award last year, Maiden and the Monster. It was one of my first books that I ever wrote that I finally stopped, cleaned up, and gave to Alora's Cave. And, of course, I had to spice it up because I was writing in that very old Harlequin-esque, you know, romance style.
Yeah.
Because that's what I had, you know.
Here's the petal. Like, here's a stem. Yeah.
Feminine folds is...
It's
the expression that I hate beyond all others, and yet you find yourself, when you're writing, you find yourself wanting to use it, and it's just awful.
I'm sorry.
Mandy's more for the frank language of, like, say, Stephen King.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. And, you know, I just hate that phrase, and yet I find myself going... because I'm working on a non-erotic, and I find myself going, ooh, what else is there? You know? I think there's a website out there, and I wish I could think of the name of it, and this person has gone through and picked what they consider the worst euphemisms in the history of the romance novel. And I think the worst that I remember was Love's Lava Flowed.
Love lava flowed.
And I thought,
that one now.
Well, that is so bad.
You know, in the pre-erotic romance days, you had to get creative and try to find a new way to
say
the same old thing.
Yeah.
You know, now everything is blunt language. And there's sometimes when I'm reading some of the modern day erotic, and even, you know, I'm thinking, this is just too much. Blunt, 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 blunt.
Right.
You know, I'd want some change up. And I think that's what authors were trying to do, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there was the center spelled, you know, T-R-E. was a huge one.
Core is hard for me. Into her feminine core. That's still hard for me.
Feminine core, center
yeah.
of her being. Womanhood, manhood.
Yeah, you know what I use a lot that I catch a lot of flack, and I do it just because I catch the flack, is the apex of her thighs, moisture pool at the apex. And I know it ticks off my editor, so I put it in there just
yeah, because that's what we grew up on. I mean, that's what
yeah.
I grew up reading, and it's sort of embedded in your brain.
Exactly.
That this is how it should be, because, you know, there's a lot of words out there that it takes a while to make friends with. If you're of a generation like me where that wasn't, you know, front and center all the time.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, I had to teach myself to write erotic romances with the hardcore language. It felt very awkward.
It was really weird because you had to actually teach me to tone it down, and then I stepped in and was like, it's okay to say this. And it was really because we had to strike a fine balance, yeah.
The first book that I actually put out that had one of the hardcore C words in it, I mean, I had never been so stressed over a book in my life, not even the first one coming out. I'm like, can I really put this out there into the world? And now my bookshelf was like, whatever you want, that's fine.
Well, I remember that at one point in time I had looked at my first book and I said, wow, I have used that C word about 8 times in a paragraph. Is that too much? I thought, yeah, it probably is. So I had to go pull some stuff out because, you know, it's fine, but it shouldn't be every sentence. You know,
yeah,
in a love scene. So I went through and pulled some out and cleaned it up, and I went, oh, that sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, and I still don't mind a little bit of the purple prosy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I have a fondness because that's what I grew up reading. Well,
yeah.
You know, later years anyway.
Well, then you,
like I was 12 with a book.
And then you try, because the book I'm working on now, it's The Last Brother's Story, and his heroine has studied martial arts in the East. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I can put a cultural spin on it. So I Googled, I have a book called The Sex and the Erotic Encyclopedia. I have an erotic encyclopedia. And, you know, of course, it gives a spin on, you know, all cultures, everything from tantric to what they say in Japan and China. So I went through Japan and I looked up, you know, his jade scepter. And I thought, oh, I could maybe use that. And, you know, for a woman, it's your gate of jewels.
I want to be referred to as that. It's a gate of jewels.
The gate of jewels. And, you know, the little nub at the top is the golden pearl. And I thought, oh, I could spin that in a little bit to break up the monotony of all the C words.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's been fun. So hopefully it won't sound too hokey.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, these are all part of a series. I don't know if we actually stated that.
But the Dunmore series?
Yes. These are my brothers, but they can be, my editor is Angela, and she has been really good about forcing me to make each as a standalone story. So you don't ever have to read, I mean, you know, the same characters flow through, but you don't have to read them in order. So in other words, you could pick up Princess of Thieves not having read either Lord Demon's Delight or Lady Strumpet, and enjoy the story because it's a separate story on its own.
Now, do you plan on there just being the 4 books you said?
Yep. Now, I'm working on Dunmore Rising, which is the very last brother's book, and I found myself wanting to continue it, and I'm not going to, and I actually sat down last night, and I killed off a character that I was going to save for another book, and I made myself kill this character off, and I cried like a baby. But I really just wanted to finish it, you know, because I think I didn't want to drag it out to the point where nobody wanted to read them anymore.
Mandy,
you know?
And I refer to that as like the blowing up all the cast of characters syndrome, to where we get to an end of like into a series and we just want to blow up everybody and like, there, you can't have any more.
I didn't want to, but I thought, you know, for the sake of my writing, and it was a good death. You know, you give them a good death.
Yeah.
A good heroic death, but I did.
As long as you don't regret it later and like, oh, I wish I had him back.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you do that turn, you're like, they automatically recovered. They thought he was dead, but he really wasn't.
He's only mostly dead.
Exactly.
That's what happens. He's not all dead.
Mostly dead.
He's only mostly dead. But that was a big thing for me. That was the first time that I ever consciously killed off a character that I would have liked to have worked with. But I'm really satisfied, I think, with the way that's going to work out, because I think it added a layer of emotion to the end of that story that would not have been there otherwise.
Now, what do you admire most about the heroines that you write?
I love my heroines because they are so different. You know, they all have, because Jo's a thief and Princess of Thieves. I mean, she is a bona fide thief. That's what she does, and by God, she's good at it. You know, you give them, and then in Dunmore Rising, Juliana is a, you know, she's a samurai. She's a martial arts expert, and she is good at it. You know,
that's
you have
strong women.
You have to give them, yeah, personality and a challenge of their own. And so as I'm growing as an author, I'm learning that their personalities are very important.
You have such strong men that I think if you had any kind of a quote-unquote wimpy heroine, it would just be too much. You know, you have to have a woman who could stand toes with these guys, because you write some men that are just phenomenally alpha.
Yeah, you know, I don't. It's funny. I don't consider my guys that horrendously,
you know what?
Alpha. Because
three other people tagged me when your story first released and said you need to go read this. She writes some awesome alpha males.
Because they have senses of humor. I mean,
yeah,
I guess
yeah.
They can't be, because, you know, too
many. Oh, they're not, pardon my pun, they're not dickheads. They're great.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, when you say alpha male, they automatically assume, like, big honking jerk, you know?
No, these guys are like, they've got this really kind of dark wit about them, and you just, you totally see everything, and they're a little bit more, I don't know, where other men would be like, oh, I think it upsets you. They get this little, like, half-grin thing and sort of, like, you know, talk it off and
yeah, clever men are hard. You have to have a really clever girl to keep up with a clever man, especially since their mothers were so clever. I mean, Fennell and Samantha, oh my gosh, these are like the mother-in-laws from who knows what.
Yeah.
So, you know, because a mother-in-law, you have to have a really strong heroine to be able to work against a really strong mother, especially, you know, for heroes that have strong maternal instincts. Boy, it takes a lot for a girl to stand up to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think the alphas, you know, like strong men, you know, confident, strong, and I don't know.
We were having a discussion the other line on Colin Firth. It was like, what was your favorite scene in a movie? And I said, I loved that kiss at the end of the first Bridget Jones. And where she looked at him and she says, nice guys don't kiss like that. And he said, yes, they effing do. You know, he was such a prime beta hero in that movie. I don't necessarily consider him an alpha hero, but, boy, he was top of the line. You know, he plays these really sensitive. I mean, I don't know that I would ever consider his characters alpha male, but, boy, you love him, don't you? I do.
Oh, I think he's great.
I do, and I can't believe that you don't agree your heroes are absolutely awesome.
No, I think they're absolutely awesome, but I just don't know. I just never intended to write a true alpha male.
Oh, you nailed it. Like, some people equate that with they're jerks. And oh, my God, these guys are great. You don't think for 1 minute that they're, you know, kind of wimpy pushovers that are going to let these heroes get away with anything. I mean, they exude power and sex, and it's great.
They do, and fun, but they're fun. I think that's the big defining factor for my heroes, is they really do have senses of humor, and they don't take themselves so seriously. But if they do, boy, the heroine will just pretty much tell them.
Right.
Before we switch, because we're kind of hitting towards the end of our show, to our paranormal topics for the day, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's next for your career?
I'm finishing up the Dunmore series. Like I said, I killed that character off because I just thought I'm not even going to go there. I've been round and round with what I was going to do. And I actually have a book that I have been writing for 10 years. Does anybody have one? Either one of you have one of those? And I look back and it was so ahead of the market. It's a reincarnation themed story that takes place in both during the Boudiccan Revolt in Celtic Britain and in modern times. And I have loved this story for years, and I'm really going to try to make myself sit down and finish it, because I think the market's really ready for it now. You know, it's more an urban paranormal than anything, and so I think that's where I'm going to go next. And I'm going to maybe try to move into a little bit of a darker storyline.
Darker stuff.
Yeah, I do too. I've just never, but I think you can have a dark humor with it too. So.
Yeah, I agree. Now, why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners your website and where else they could find you on the internet, and if you're doing any appearances, like live signings or anything coming up.
I will be at RT this year in Pittsburgh, and I will be in Hamilton, Ohio at the Mad Anthony Writers Conference April, oh, I have to look at that. I think that's the weekend of April the 23rd to the 24th, and I'm doing a panel 25th to the 26th, April the 25th to the 26th, and I'm doing a panel there.
Well, you have a couple Ohio book signings coming up too, right?
I just finished two. I had two back-to-back these past two weekends, so I'm done.
Oh,
I am done with those for now.
Gia, you're being publicly challenged in the chat room from Carolyn Ivey. She says, tell Gia I have a challenge for her. The Beyond the Veil authors do a free paranormal read for Halloween. I challenge Gia to use her formidable talent and death touch with humor to write a vampire short story.
Oh, you had to mention vampires. Oh,
okay,
my gosh.
She's saying people laugh.
Carolyn also wanted to know why you don't like vampires, and I'm kind of curious, too.
You know, it's not that I don't like vampires. I'm a vegetarian because I can't deal with blood in any way, shape, or form. I said, if somebody would turn me into a vampire, I'd be like out trying to fang tomatoes or down ketchup bottles or something, because I don't think I could do it. And my sons always laughed at me because, I mean, literally, I gag and I pass out and I hit the floor, and they would be so scared when they were, well, what if one of us gets really hurt? Would you get us to the hospital? And I actually had my challenge one year when my son ran his bike over a cliff. And
sorry, I was being asked to get a sound effect in there for you.
Called in.
I don't think I could do a vegetarian vamp. I don't think that would work out really well.
It's my vegan vamp.
The vegan vamp. Where would you go with that?
Nowhere that involves cheese or anything
story.
Else.
That would be the challenge.
Bad Carolyn. Where is she? Bad Carolyn.
She's not calling. She's hiding out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? While we're on a funny note, I have got to talk about this. And we mean no disrespect. I'm Catholic myself, so, you know, if anyone wants to come and, you know, have at me for saying this with the fame,
yeah,
that's fine.
We were both raised Catholic, but this
yeah.
is kind of funny.
So, okay.
My husband's Catholic and my sons are Catholic.
We have to talk about this. On about paranormal, they had a little news flash about the Vatican actively seeking more exorcists to do exorcisms because of the rise of, like, Satanism. And just, you know, how the culture's definitely gone a little bit more away of the dark. People are a little bit more fascinated by, you know, the paranormal and this and that. So they're actively seeking more people to do this. I want everyone to picture the ad they run for this. What do you think it would say? I mean,
every culture has that, though. Every
right.
culture has their own. You know, I watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and I should not have watched that movie. That movie scared the bejesus out of me. I'm a chicken. I admit that freely. But because that movie had the possibility of truth,
right?
I was freaked out for days, and my
right.
family laughs at me because I am just a weenie. I admit that freely. But that movie scared me to death because, you know what, we don't know. Is it some psychological form of mental illness? Yes. Is it maybe? Is it combination of both? Maybe. I mean, we don't know, but it really scares you to think that that there is even the minutest possibility that that could happen to you or someone you know, and you would have no clue what was really causing it.
Tully said then the movie The Entity would have freaked you out as well. She's in the chat room.
Oh, I saw that years ago with Jo Beth Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't sleep for days after that. I did not sleep for days after that. I remember that where it got her in the shower. For weeks, I couldn't take a shower.
Yeah.
Because it attacked her in the shower. To this day, I don't take a shower because bad things happen when you're in the shower.
Oh, I know. The whole Bates thing still. That
Everything happens when you're in the shower.
Nothing good happens in a shower.
You know, you could take a bath and stick your machine gun and have a chance of, you know, beside the tub and have a chance of grabbing it. But bad things happen when you're in the shower.
I was watching this little like CNN bit, because CNN is the one who did the bit on it, and on the exorcism in the Vatican, you know, actively seeking more, you know, people to do the exorcism. And I swear to God, I started laughing so hard because I'm really thinking, what do they say, you know, in their little newspaper ad? Did they say, do you like sex? Do you like drugs? Do you like rock and roll? Do you like, you know, the occult? If you answered yes to any of the above, need not apply. I mean, what did they
Yeah,
do?
Really.
I'm dying.
If you hate all that, come and help us get rid of it.
And do they make you do a test run? You know, they've got a kind of possessed guy they'd like you to have a look at. You know, if you end up getting stabbed with a crucifix, you
now,
lose, can't play.
We had a history professor when I was in college. I went to Hanover College, by the way, and I graduated with Woody Harrelson. So that's sort of my claim to fame. Woody and I were friends way back in the day. I was actually in his the one time I think I was ever on stage was his senior performance of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Of course, I played the little maid who had like 2 seconds on stage. But anyway, we had a history professor who was an ex-monk. Mm-hmm. And the story was, and this man was a bit odd, and you would see him walking down the street, and, you know, he wore the trench coat and he wore the black hat like at the end of the exorcism. He'd always be looking over his shoulder, always be looking over his shoulder. And
the
rumor,
avoid the staircase, man. Avoid the staircase. Okay.
Yeah, and the rumor on campus was that he had been through a bad exorcism, and which is why he quit his profession, but until this, you know, until that very day. Wah, wah, wah. Where's the sound effects when you need them?
Yeah, exactly.
wait,
I've got it. I can't make him stop.
There you go. You know, he believed that things would follow him around. And, you know, if you ever saw him walking around campus at night doing that funky over-the-shoulder look, you almost believed the stories were true.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was odd. It was odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of respect for, you know, any kind, because, you know, like you said, all cultures have some version of it. Now, I mean, I don't think, unless it's come to, you know, mind that it's doing it now, that many of the Western ones actually acknowledge, like Catholics acknowledge they have exorcisms, you know, and things like that. But, I mean, they all have some form of it. And I know, like, a lot of Eastern religions, it's not an issue. I mean, the veil between life and death with them is looked at so differently than it is by us, so...
Well, I think
absolutely.
Too, between European and American culture, we were talking about that with ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how a lot of people in America don't even, you know, there's a lot that do, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things. And in, you know, Europe, it's kind of like, well, everyone has a ghost in their house. If you don't, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a different, I think, culturally too.
Well, we're such a new culture, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we're still such a new culture. You know, just a couple, 300 years old. That's just a snap of the fingers compared to European cultures and other indigenous cultures. So, you know, that's something you have to think about here. We haven't been around long enough, I think, in this country to really have enough history to look at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, so we're noobs with this all. People been, you know, dealing with demons and quote-unquote all of that stuff for forever and a day. We're just getting new to it, yeah.
Of course, if they look like Keanu Reeves and Constantine, I'd be real good with that.
Exactly. Why don't they come sexy like that? You hear about these incubus stories and everything else. Damn, where can you get you one, you know?
Oh, there was a really bad, scary movie years ago called Incubus. It scared me, too. See, there are things I should not watch, especially before I go to bed at night, because then I dream about them. It's bad. It's bad.
And somebody in the Hong Kong...
Hong Kong
Sweet. Sorry for this name. I lost it. Oh my gosh, just I choke and die on radios. I have witnesses. Okay, I wonder if aliens have a ghost. Interesting. When the mothership comes, we'll ask.
Now that, see, this is why I shouldn't watch. One night, and my husband will tell you this is a true story, I was up watching some alien abduction show, and all of a sudden outside I heard this, and my dogs are freaking out. The dogs are up. They're jumping around. They're sniffing at the doors. They're barking. And in my mind, the mothership was coming down. I could see the lights flashing. Oh, my God. Stairs. I was shaking my husband. I said, Cap, get up. You guys, aren't you going to go look for this? He says, hell no. I'm not going to get up. He looked at me like I was out of his mind. I said, listen, don't you hear it? The dogs are... And the next day, I realized it was the wild turkeys. And to this day, he loves to tell that story.
We had to... Doesn't he know that it's his job to explore burglars in the house?
Oh, no.
Maniac killers and strange noises in the yard.
I was so mad. I said, well, if they come to give me... It is your fault. Oh,
you know, I have to admit this, which is horrible. I'm really not closed mind, but I'm a definite super skeptic when it comes to, like, you know, aliens and that. But I'm a skeptic, but I want to believe in the demons.
I don't know if I want to believe.
I don't understand me. Yeah.
I mean,
you know what? I'm
going
to be the person abducted, or they're going to land on my house to be like, yeah, we're real. How do you like us now? Yeah. So, yeah.
You believe in fairies, but not us? Come on.
Well, here's the thing, but look at the old fairy abductions
mm-hmm.
compared to modern alien abductions. Ooh, the similarities are just amazing. It's like there was no such thing as aliens in the consciousness of, you know, medieval Europe and earlier, but... Think about fairy rings and the burn marks on the grass and the crop circles and the way they look and being taken away for so long and coming back. I mean, there's either something really going on there or our consciousness has a need to make something, has had a need, you know, throughout human history.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fascinating when you think about that.
Yeah, definitely.
My opinion on aliens is that it's kind of human vanity to think that we are the only ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what your religious beliefs are, who you believe made us, it's kind of vanity to think that we're the only ones. I mean, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And Mandy can always make fun of me later.
Well, no, I don't disagree so much with that, but I just have a hard time of the Hollywood version of an alien. You know, that they're going to, and they just, you know, we have to be food products and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I honestly don't think they're going to
come down. Oh,
deserve
man, it's a cookbook.
Exactly. We're going to come down,
believe
you know.
That they're coming down here just to probe us, you know?
Yeah, I need two redheads and a blonde to favor this stew. Come on, you know. I could be wrong, and if I'm eaten later by them, we'll know. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, it's the anal probing that always cracks me up. It's like, yeah, we're gonna fly.
We have quite the anal fixation here on the show.
Miles to steal humans.
Stick something up your butt, yeah.
To probe
okay.
them and then drop them back off.
No,
it's
now
kind of
see
like
the reason. No,
thing.
Now see the reason they do that for men, though. Supposedly, it stimulates the prostate gland so they can collect a semen sample.
Oh, right. Well, see, that's the first logical explanation I have. But you know, really, I think it's some guy trying to not admit to a bad night that he had. He wants to be
wrong.
Like, clean away any medical evidence later.
It wasn't me.
It was the aliens.
You just weren't down in Texas recently to see the big UFO sighting down there.
Where was that?
That was Texas last week or the week before.
I missed that.
Yeah, that was on all the
blogs
and the AOL news.
It's like
and
alien frat boys going out for a cruise.
Yeah.
You know, let's go get some
joyriding. Yeah. Getting a little too close to our atmosphere. Oopsie-daisies.
They get into the frat if the humans put it on the news type of thing. It's just a big prank.
Let's see if we can get them.
Guys, in the chat room, can you still hear us? The switchboard blinked out and did something very bizarre, and I'm not sure if our show is still going live. There's a little delay, so we just have to wait before they can answer.
Oh, the chat room is going fine for me. I think it's just
Bueller?
You.
Anyone?
It's the aliens.
Good.
It's the aliens coming down,
they
blinking
like
her
about them.
The
blinking
aliens
her
are
off.
Talking about them, and they, you know, they
we'll,
wave their little magic finger over the button for my computer. They're like, fix
right.
this, bitch.
We'll show you.
Oh, that's funny.
And then there was the time that I was out communing with nature and got barked at by a raccoon. You know, they bark, you know. I'm just, you know, I would like to be nature woman, but some days it just doesn't work for me. I don't know what else to say. Are we blinked out?
I don't know. Could you not hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, we must have blinked out. Mandy was right.
We must have blinked out. Okay.
What was I saying? I forgot. It was clever. Just believe that.
Okay, I believe
it was
you.
Funny.
Funny, witty, and totally amazing. And I missed
it.
Yeah. It's a shame.
actually, we do have to start wrapping up the show now. We've got a few minutes left and a few announcements we need to make. Gia, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me
Thank
on today
so
and for not talking about vampires too awfully long.
Well, you can blame Carolyn for that in the chat room.
I will.
Yeah.
That's so her fault. We're pointing the finger there.
Yeah, you were right. We were blinking out.
Oh, were we? Okay.
Yeah, I was talking and Gia's like, is anybody there? I just said something really brilliant. Swear.
You're doing really weird. I mean, there's a window that pops up in this that has a switchboard on it, on the computer, and it has never done this before where it blinked out and, like, everything went white on it, and it came back, and then it did it again. It was gone for, like, about, I don't know, maybe 6 seconds, and then came back up.
Yeah, it's the aliens coming after Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to teach me for saying I didn't believe. I believe.
No, not Michelle. That was Mandy.
Oh, that
was
Mandy. Okay, sorry.
She was the one fixated on anal probes. I was just wondering if they were real.
No, I just said it was the funniest joke.
Wait. You're going to be muted because I like leaving you with the fixation on anal probes. You know, right now she's throwing
Michelle didn't disagree. Yeah.
It must be true. But thank you very much for
joining
us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was loads of fun.
I'll have you back sometime.
Okay, can I hang up now? Am I good?
Oh, yeah,
you can
go.
Okay.
Run away.
Run away. Bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh,
buddy.
I thought we were going to make it through one whole show without an actual technical difficulty. It was just too much for us. We had to wait right up to the end. And oh, we should be able to.
Well, we've got a few short announcements. I had a print book release this last week, Space Lords,
mm-hmm.
The first book. It was an ebook, but it's now released in print. You can buy it from newconceptspublishing.com for the publisher direct buy. It's probably the fastest way to get it. And your magnetic attraction I saw this morning was hovering around, what, 3 or 4 on the Samhain special?
Yeah, it's been bouncing around there. So I'm impressed with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We do get a lot of reader questions, and we were going to try to get to them today, but, of course, we rambled off, so, and Gia was so much fun, we just had to keep her.
Yeah.
She's like, what happened to the 20-minute slot? You guys left me there forever.
And then we literally left
Gia.
Her for, like, 6 seconds in a blink, you know. Vortex of nothing as this thing blinked away. Yeah.
Yeah, we left her hanging completely.
Yeah.
It's now your show. Have fun.
Now, we should probably mention that next week we have a really fun show planned, and we have New York author J.C. Burton. And you guys, if you read, like, Surviving Demon Island and Hunting the Demon and that, she's got that whole demon series. Plus, she's got a new release from Berkeley Heat called Riding Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And she had Wild Wicked Wand Hunt, too, which was really great. So she's going to be joining us to kind of shoot the shit, and she's really funny. You guys are going to love her.
And if you have questions or topics you'd like us to discuss with J.C. while she's here,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and this next week before the show, email them to ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com,
yes.
And we will be happy to, you know, ask her your questions or your
We promise we'll put you first in the queue, and sorry to everybody who has to get knocked down a peg. We will spend, one time we'll spend the show just answering questions because we suck.
Well, our personal questions.
Yeah.
Like, oops.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sitting thinking, I'm like, there's some reader questions that we should probably answer. I just feel kind of bad now. Anyway, we don't have time, sorry. They're cutting us off.
I'm sorry, I waited till you started to talk and did it right then.
Oh.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.